And today we've got speaking, we've got Steve Clayton, who's going to talk about fracking and how that relates to socialism and the possibility of socialism. So I'll hand you over.
Yeah, thank you, Darren. I'm not going to exactly. I'm going to speak exactly what you said then about socialism and fracking in socialism. I'm not really. I'm going to talk about how maybe socialists should feel about fracking. I think maybe that's really what the talk's about. The Socialist Party of Great Britain doesn't have a policy on fracking. We like Darren says, we exist to promote socialism, the abolition of capitalism. I mean, the subject has been discussed in the party. I mean, there was a article in the Pathfinders column in the Socialist Standard in January 2013. One of the lines said in that article, "The idea of blowing up the ground under our feet may seem intuitively alarming." And the article didn't seem to come out as opposed to fracking or even in favour of fracking, but if it was a technology that could be made safe, we might, if we needed it in socialism, use it. Later in 2013, there was a review of an American film called Promised Land, which was about fracking. And I think somebody at the Manchester branch actually proposed there was a discussion item at ADM in October 2013, which I don't remember what resulted from that discussion. We showed the documentary film Gasland at head office in March 2014, which is all about fracking in the USA. And Comrade Buick and myself spoke about fracking at head office about a year ago this time. And so I've actually spoken about this subject before, but since I spoke about it originally, I've actually read something else. And it's a 1999 article by John Bellamy Foster, and it's about Marx's theory of metabolic rift. So what I've done, I've thought about the metabolic rift with nature and what Marx is saying about the exploitation of the land, and I'm applying it to fracking. So let's get on with it, and let me tell you. I'm sure people do know what fracking is, but I'm going to like tell you what it is anyway. So fracking is also known as hydraulic fracturing, and it's a technique designed to recover shale gas and oil 1 kilometre or more deep underground, held in impermeable shale rock. I mean, the fracking process is the drilling down into the earth and then a blasting of a pressurised mix of millions of gallons of water, millions of pounds of sand, and thousands of gallons of chemicals, 596 different kinds of chemicals, and these include toxins and carcinogens. And these are put into deep wells to break up the layers of shale rock to release the natural gas inside and push it towards the head of the well. I want to make it clear, anybody who doesn't know the Socialist Party of Great Britain, I mean, as socialists, we do not oppose capitalist technology just because it is technology used by the capitalist class in the pursuit of profits. But I want to say here is, but what if in the pursuit of such profits, capitalist technology destroys the world that we want to inherit as a world socialist society? I mean, as we know, capitalism has already raped and pillaged and plundered the earth over the last 200 years. So, is fracking a metabolic rift with nature? John Bellamy Foster, in his 1999 work, Marx's Theory of Metabolic Rift, Classical Foundations for Environmental Sociology, could provide a key to how socialists should think about fracking. So what I want to do is talk about fracking, what's some of the risks involved, what's been happening in America, what's been happening in this country as well, and then I'm going to speak about Marx's theory of metabolic rift with nature. I mean, fracking is seen as a serious risk to our water supplies. I mean, toxic chemicals such as methane, heavy metals, carcinogenic chemicals can escape and contaminate groundwater near the fracking site. I mean, the only thing protecting our drinking water from contamination is the integrity of drilled wells, and all well casings degrade over time. And fracking operations need lots and lots of wells, therefore more opportunities for well failures and fugitive methane emissions. And the waste water, which is a byproduct of this operation, is going to be stored in tanks. But given the amount of wells proposed, this seriously cannot be the long-term plan. The Tyndall Centre at the University of Manchester came out with a report in 2011, and it said that there was a clear risk of contamination of groundwater from shale gas extraction. While the UK Environmental Agency found flowback fluid from the Lancashire Shale contained notably high levels of sodium, chloride, bromide and iron, as well as higher values of lead. I mean, in the USA, fracking has been taking place for decades, but between 2005 and 2010, the shale gas industry in the US grew by 45%. Academic Terry Engel there at the Penn State University wrote, "This is not a risk-free industry." And another academic, Robert B. Jackson at Duke University, he believes the likeliest cause of contamination is faulty cementing and casings of wells. But also that fracking, this is important, may create cracks upward in rocks that could link up with pre-existing fissures, allowing gas to travel far upward. And after the water has been pumped underground, between 30 to 60% actually returns to the surface as what's known as produced water. And this contains the fracking chemicals, plus substances leached from underground, such as heavy metals and radioactive isotopes. The water industry group Water UK estimates that a typical 1,000-well fracking field would use 2 million litres a day at its peak of production. And I've been told that a Texas town, a town called Barnhart in Texas, actually completely ran out of tap water in August 2013 due to fracking operations in its vicinity. In the USA, there have been numerous instances of water contamination. In Pennsylvania alone, there were 243 cases in 6 years. In Colorado, local flooding led to more than 400,000 gallons of oil leaking into the local water supply. There was methane contamination of 13 water wells due to fracking in 2009 in Dimock in Pennsylvania, where one well actually exploded. I mean, despite the risks highlighted in the USA, fracking licences are being granted in the UK in flood risk zones and areas where we source our drinking water. Another thing that fracking is responsible for is it actually creates mini earthquakes. A US geological survey linked up to 50 earthquakes to fracking in Oklahoma of magnitudes 1.0 to 4.0. And fracking at an exploratory site in Lancashire was stopped after two seismic events in 2011. Another issue that fracking leads to is it threatens renewable energy programs, you know, clean energy sources, and it undermines investment in offshore wind, solar, geothermal, and tidal power. It's actually distracting energy firms and governments from investing in renewable sources of energy, and it's encouraging continued reliance on fossil fuels. The ecologists, the Friends of the Earth, they commented that shale gas is not the solution to the UK's energy challenges. We need a 21st century energy revolution based on efficiency and renewables, not more fossil fuels that will add to climate change. So, more criticism of fracking coming up. It releases greenhouse gases due to flaring and methane emissions, and these methane emissions are actually 23 times more potent than carbon dioxide. As for climate change, the commitment to cutting emissions will be affected and ultimately accelerate climate change. So we'll have an impact on climate change, and replacing conventional fossil gas with shale gas to generate electricity increases greenhouse gas emissions by up to, the figure I've got here is 11%. I mean, a man called David Kennedy, he was the head of the statutory body advising the UK government on meeting its carbon reduction goals. He severely criticised the government, this is the coalition government, for its dash for gas through fracking. He said, "It would not be sensible or compatible with meeting carbon budgets and the 2050 target and would damage investment in renewables." Again, the Tyndall Centre, who I mentioned earlier at the University of Manchester, they concluded that large-scale extraction of shale gas cannot be reconciled with climate change commitments to limit global temperature increases to 2 degrees C. I mean, reserves of shale gas have been identified across swathes of Britain. 60% of the countryside could potentially be exploited for shale gas, which holds trillions of cubic feet of shale gas. And wells will spread like an octopus underground under land and houses. It's a case of not NIMBYs not in my backyard, but NUMBYs not under my backyard. Let me just talk about like what fracking has actually taken place in this country. And it actually took place in the Fylde in Lancashire in 2011. And it led to a 2.2 magnitude tremor centred on Pulteney Fylde on the 1st of April 2011. And then nearly 2 months later, on the 28th of May 2011, there was a small earthquake again at Pulteney Fylde of 1.5 magnitude. So this led to, in June 2011, the energy company Quadrilla suspended fracking operations because of the link to these earthquakes. And after hearing only a few months ago, Lancashire County Council actually refused permission for two fracking sites in the Fylde where Quadrilla were hoping to drill four wells. I won't mention like all the other instances, but there's been protests and everything. At the moment, it's all held in abeyance, but the government is very keen to press ahead with it. I mean, a commercial-scale fracking operation will require intrusive development across the UK and the industrialisation of the countryside. We're talking about thousands of diesel trucks travelling constantly to and from fracking wells, requiring more roads to be built. And at an intensive drilling time, some sites could see around 250 truck journeys a day, laden with chemicals, fracking fluids and waste fluids. I mean, the coalition government decided not to allow fracking in designated areas such as national parks and areas of outstanding natural beauty, which must mean they recognise that fracking will harm the environment, so why is it appropriate anywhere in Britain? Also, a shale gas well costs about twice as much as a conventional well, and production declines quickly by up to 80% within 2 years. So this means a lot of wells no need to keep extracting gas. We're talking up to 1,000 wells for a typical drilling site, which means a very heavy impact on the landscape and ecosystems. I mean, essentially, fracking is an all-or-nothing shock and awe operation. I mean, as part of capitalism's new dash for gas, the government announced in August 2015 that there would be 27 new oil and gas exploration sites in Yorkshire, the North West and the East Midlands. The government has also streamlined regulation to speed up fracking exploration, and it's given cash incentives to local councils who allow fracking. It's changed planning laws to diminish the public consultation process in order to fast-track fracking applications. So this new dash for gas is about short-termism. It's short-term profits, regardless of any environmental costs. So enough about actual fracking. I want to talk, for the last bit of the talk, about Marx's theory of the metabolic rift with nature, and I'm like, trying to apply it to fracking and the land. So just to start off with, I mean, capitalist technology is human-centred. I mean, it acts as if nature doesn't matter. I mean, industrialisation is dominant over nature. Now, critics of Marx have said that Marx has a Promethean attitude towards nature, which means he's pro-technological and anti-ecological. Although these critics admit he shows ecological sensitivity in early works such as the Economic and Philosophical Manuscripts, but that he later adopted a Promethean attitude. Although in 1880, which is very close to Marx's death, in his work on his notes on Adolf Wagner, Marx was still writing about the material exchange between man and nature. So these critics say Marx is, you know, he's blind to the exploitation of nature and nature's role in the creation of value and the existence of distinct natural limits or nature's changing character and the impact of this on human society and also the role of technology in environmental degradation. Now, what John Bellamy Foster, in his work Marx's Theory of Metabolic Rift, he demonstrates that this is incorrect, and he actually is saying that Marx is imbued with a ecological awareness, environmentalism even, and he's aware of the impact of environmental degradation. And Bellamy Foster picks out lots of quotes from Marx's volumes of Capital to show that there is an ecological argument embedded in Capital. So Marx describes the metabolic rift with nature as an irreparable break in the coherence of social interchange prescribed by the natural laws of life. And he describes it also as the irreparable rift in the interdependent process of social metabolism. Those quotes are from Capital Volume 3. So what Marx is saying, and John Foster is writing about, is that the rift between humanity and the rest of nature actually emanates from capitalist production. To quote Marx again, there's a lot of quotes actually from Marx here. I just think the quotes are quite good from Capital on this subject. In Capital Volume 1, he says, capitalist production disturbs the metabolic interaction between man and the earth. Just to bring in Engels now, he identified that capitalism made the earth an object of huckstering. That's from his Dialectics of Nature. So in developing his critique of capitalist ground rent and under the influence of Liebig, Marx was to develop a systematic critique of capitalist exploitation of the land. And as we know, in capitalism, it regards the earth, nature, as I said earlier on, it regards nature of the earth as a gift to capital. It's like an idea put forward both by Malthus and Ricardo. And until quite recently, economic textbooks would say, and I quote here, "Land refers to all natural resources, all free gifts of nature, which are usable in the production process. Land has no production cost. It is a free and non-reproducible gift of nature." Now, obviously, Marx obviously agreed that under the law of value of capitalism, nature was accorded no value. But for Marx, nature is just as much a source of wealth as labour. I mean, labour is not the only source of material wealth, he wrote. And he references 17th century economist William Petty, who wrote, "Labour is the father of material wealth, and the earth is its mother." Under the influence of Darwin, Marx and Engels repudiated the age-old view that human beings were the centre of the natural universe. I mean, Engels himself, he expressed a withering contempt for the idealistic exaltation of man over the other animals. That's from a letter from Engels to Marx in 1858. And in The Dialectics of Nature, Engels wrote, "Let us not, however, flatter ourselves overmuch on account of our human conquest over nature, for each such conquest takes its revenge on us. Thus, at every step, we are reminded that we by no means rule over nature like a conqueror over a foreign people, like someone standing outside nature, but that we, with flesh, blood and brain, belong to nature and exist in its midst." So for Marx, the conscious and rational treatment of the land as permanent communal property is the inalienable condition for the existence and reproduction of the chain of human generations. That's from Capital, Volume 3. Again, from the same volume, he wrote, "Even an entire society, a nation, or all simultaneously existing societies taken together are not owners of the earth. They are simply its possessors, its beneficiaries, and have to bequeath it in an improved state to succeeding generations as good heads of the household." So Marx calls for the restoration of the necessary metabolic relation between humanity and the earth. You know, sensitivity to natural conditions, evolutionary change, and the metabolic interaction of humanity and the earth. I mean, Marx concludes that socialism will mean that socialized man, the associated producers, will govern the human metabolism with nature in a rational way, bringing it under their own collective control rather than being dominated by it as a blind power, accomplishing it with the least expenditure of energy and in conditions most worthy and appropriate for their human nature. And John Bellamy Foster argues that Marx's analysis of how sociology could be extended into the ecological realm reinforces the view that ecological analysis, devoid of sociological insight, is incapable of dealing with the contemporary crisis of the earth, a crisis which has its source and its meaning ultimately in society itself. So is fracking a metabolic rift with nature? I mean, I think John Bellamy Foster shows socialists, with his analysis of Marx's writings in these three volumes of Capital, how probably socialists should see the fracking exploitation of the land in capitalist production. That's it.